You're listening to Dr. Bill Cortestis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi on It's Complicated, the podcast that uncomplicates the mental and physical aspects of life and the aesthetic surgery to help anyone committed to achieving their personal best.
So, G-Money, what are we going to uncomplicate today?
Well, you know, today and this episode is special because it is International Women's Day, and it's not just simply a hashtag. It's actually something way more than that, and it's something that represents women kind of all over the world. What's unique about our situation in our practice, and even my situation at home, is that I am surrounded by women, and women are so integral in everyone's success and my success. And most of our patients are actually women, although men are becoming more and more commonplace for us. And at HKB, I don't know if you guys know this, that what do you think the stat is of how many of the people in our staff are women versus men?
Who I know.
92% of our staff are female. And then how about our surgeons? 40%, guys. So almost half, which is incredible. And I think it's definitely ahead of the curve. But I'm just really excited about this because I think women are incredible beings. They do a lot of things that, Bill, you and I just can't. And one of the most incredible women that we know is on the show with us today, Dr. Shauna Kleban. And we are kind of dedicating this episode to really dive into you, kind of what makes you tick, and then also kind of your sentiment towards kind of where we are now in regards to being a female professional, a female plastic surgeon, a female member of our practice. And just to kind of dig in some more, you know, you are the first female surgeon at HKB. And, you know, to start it off with is, how do you think that's been? And then how has our practice evolved with you being one of our fellows and now one of our actual teammates?
Well, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be with you guys here on this podcast, but also as colleagues together, practicing together every day. It's truly an honor to get to do what we do. And I think over the years, being with the practice, things have grown substantially since I started as a fellow. I think recognizing and supporting strong women has always been a part of HKB. I feel really lucky to be the first female plastic surgeon on staff. I know that we've really supported our injectors and some of our other providers. And so it feels great to stand next to those women and then further the next generation of plastic surgeons, female plastic surgeons, with the additional onboarding of new physicians with the additional locations. And so it's been kind of exponential growth. So it's been wonderful.
We're very blessed at HKB to have so many powerful, smart women surrounding us. And every day I walk into the office, how I'm like blown away by what everybody in the office is doing and the leadership of these individuals within our practice and what they've done. And Shauna, you've come in and have just crushed it. And what I mean by that is, like, you've taken the bull by the horns. You love being a part of the team, and you've shown G and I a different direction and a different perspective, which we absolutely love and adore. So kudos to you for your successes and more to come, but we're pretty blessed to ultimately have you. I want to dive a little deep. I want to know who Shauna Kleban is. What makes you tick? What gets you up in the morning? I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I want the listeners to know.
Sure.
So why plastic surgery?
Well, there's the simple version and the complicated version of that story. The simple version is I love art and science, and plastic surgery is the perfect combination of those two things. The complicated version is that I grew up as the daughter of a veterinarian and got to see that side of medicine, got to see surgery, all different types of medicine, and then also the daughter of a marriage and family therapist. And that taught me a lot about the human condition, the human mind, people's confidence, how they think, how people work, how they think through their problems and their self-esteem. And I really like that human side of things. And so that's how I got into medicine, and human medicine in particular, and not veterinary medicine, is that I really like interacting with my patients, talking to my patients, getting to know what drives them, what motivates them. And then throughout my whole life, I always played sports, always did other things outside of school, but art was always my passion. And so I was always doing art summer camps and would do art lessons, private art lessons in Scottsdale, Arizona, and always looking for more opportunities to be creative and express myself in that way. And so I get to do that every day of my life. And so work doesn't become work when I get to be myself, express myself, be creative, connect and interact with patients, and also get to use that science medical mind that I love so much. And so I really feel like plastic surgery is the perfect combination of all of my interests, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
That's awesome. It's funny how you hear about what makes other people tick and why they like our space and field, and there's lots of similarities, but yet so many striking differences. And kudos to you on your background. I know a lot of the depth of the background that you're talking about, and it's pretty special. And you are absolutely a really great plastic surgeon. You know, one of the things I wanted to dive into was that it's interesting to think, what do female patients think? Do you think they prefer to see a female plastic surgeon? What are your thoughts on this? And do you as a female have an edge with those patients?
I think it really comes down to the patient. I think there are different patients that are looking for different things. And so some women feel a lot more comfortable with that female energy, that someone that actually has the same or similar experiences that they've gone through, or same or similar body parts that they have. And so having that perspective, having that experience, shopping for the same clothes, trying on, you know, the bras that they don't fit anybody, those sorts of things that are a common experience for a lot of women, I can share with them. But my personality and my style doesn't match with every patient. And same thing with any male surgeon, is that they may connect more with some of my female patients because of just their personality. And so one of the things that I really strive in my patient consultations is being myself, because I want my patients to really connect with me and know me. And I think that's when you get those really strong patient relationships. And so do I think that there can be a little bit of an edge sometimes, but do I think it's the be all end all? No.
You know, you said something, and I think this is the most important thing, is you have to be yourself. And if you can be yourself at all times, then when you finally see a patient and the patient kind of was identifying with that, then you have the patient who's well matched with you. And I think as I've matured in my career, I finally now get patients that are actually appropriately matched to me. And I think part of it is that when we're displaying how we are, whether that be in promotional material or on social media, there's consistency and not like kind of putting on a show. And so I love that idea, and always be true to yourself and be yourself. And it's funny that typically that's going to reward you. So I just love that you said that.
I think it was one of the first things I realized when I joined Joe Hunstad was our patient population was completely different. Even though we did the same surgeries, we saw similar types of procedures that we would ultimately do, but the individuals who sought us out were uniquely different. And I think that's the advantage of what we bring at HKB, is the fact that we are all really great surgeons, but to that, we have different personalities and different traits, and patients are attracted to certain personalities or certain traits. And that's the beauty of it, right? Is like, if somebody's not matched for me, they may be matched for you, G, or vice versa to Dr. Kleban. And I love that about our practice.
It's really interesting, though, and it may be a quick jump into this kind of part of the discussion on women in the workplace and women getting equal treatment. It's come to my attention, and I've seen recently, that there are some implicit biases that women face. And sometimes it's not stuff that, like, Bill, you or I would ever feel. And my wife's a physician also, an ER physician, and I still never felt it. But then recently I started to see some things and understand kind of what women go through. I mean, Sean, is that something that you feel on a day-to-day basis? Like, and if you have, tell us kind of what that's like. How do you deal with that? And an example.
You know, there's definitely been times in my career where I pretty much always called a nurse if I'm in the hospital. And I so appreciate my nurses and know that I can't do their job, but we're different. And so there's a difference in what we do, and that difference should be respected. But I do really feel like the way that I have been trained and the people that I've worked with have actually lifted me up in a huge way where I haven't felt any different than my male colleagues. And I know that's not the experience of the vast majority of female surgeons, but I feel really lucky to have been able to stand on my own and feel like I'm just a good surgeon. Doesn't matter if I'm a female surgeon or a male surgeon, I'm standing on my own for who I am. And that's really kind of how I deal with any of that implicit bias, is I try to show who I am, anything outside of my gender. Is it, to me, it doesn't matter. I am who I am. I provide the sort of services that I do. But there can be some implicit things where patients, really I see it with patients, is that they don't necessarily maybe show me the same respect that they implicitly would with a male physician, because I'm, you know, Shauna to them sometimes. And it can be a little bit too familiar, and some of that respect and some of the training that I've gone through, you know, the 15, 16, however many years it's been that I've dedicated my life to this craft, they may not see that. And so even though I'm pretty laid back as far as my interactions with patients, I may not get that same baseline level of respect from a patient walking through the door that a male physician would.
And is that from males? Is that from females, or maybe one more than the other?
I honestly see it more with females than with males.
Isn't that interesting?
Really interesting. And that's something that I think we as strong female leader surgeons, individuals, we fight against all the time, is other women who are strong kind of taking us down. And so there's that whole quote about you should fix each other's crown instead of trying to tear them off. You know, you want to uplift the people around you. You want to uplift your colleagues, those above you and below you, to better one another and not take anybody down. And so I do find it really interesting that most of the interactions that I've had where I've felt like there's not so much respect, it's been with other females.
You know, it's pretty interesting because G and I, we ascribe to the belief of empowering those around us and having them fulfill their best destiny they can, and us helping anybody who's around us, male, female, to be and to attain that best version of themselves. And that's what we do every day. What do you say to the younger generation, individuals who are looking to go into medicine, Shauna, that are female? What are some of your words of wisdom to that younger group?
I think, you know, it's a hard road. It's a long road, and you have to be prepared for it. And there's a lot of sacrifices you're going to make along the way for your career if you decide to do this, because it becomes a big part of your life. And so, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I don't have children and I haven't been married because I haven't had that time, that opportunity. I'm now finally having the time and opportunity to be able to dedicate myself to something more than my patients, because my patients at this point are really a huge part of my day-to-day thinking and feeling. And it takes a lot of emotional energy to be able to take care of patients. And so I'm finally have a little bit more space and time to be able to maybe pursue a longer term relationship, a marriage and children. I do want children one day. I haven't felt like it's been the right time yet.
And that's an interesting thing, because I think, you know, whether it be male or female, when you decide to become a physician, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it. When you decide to be a surgeon, even more, because the training typically is longer. When you become a plastic surgeon, even longer and ultra competitive. And then once you get to that point, then you have to continue to invest in it, into the field further, and you have to have a passion for it. And I think about this, like, you know, thinking about, like, all right, so let's say, Shauna, you have two or three girls as kids. I mean, I have four. Do I want them to do what I do? Do I want them to become plastic surgeons? Sometimes I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want them to do medicine, because I think there's a lot of risk in medicine. The medical legal environment in the United States is not a friendly one. And even if you do everything exactly by the book and try to be the best that you can, there's still that risk. That hurts me. And just it makes me feel like, you know, it's, why would I want my kids to be subjected to that? But then I think, all right, so let's say they do want to do medicine. There's absolutely no other field I want them to do because this is the most incredible field. So I think I would probably say, yeah, maybe if they really, really wanted to. How about you? You had a bunch of kids and one of your kids wants to become a plastic surgeon. Are you going to say, do this? And with what you had to go through, would you have them do the same thing as you?
You know, it's an interesting question because my father, who's a veterinarian, he said, you know, if you're going to do medicine, do anything but veterinary medicine, right? So it's that same thing of you only know what you've done and you only know what you've been through. You don't have anything else to compare to. And so everything that we choose to do in life is going to be difficult. And so if you have the passion for it, if you have the drive for it, if it's something that you love, then you should do it. Because at the end of the day, I can't see myself doing anything else. And so if that's where my daughter or son ends up, then I'll support them. But if they feel like they'd be really happy, you know, doing something else, then I'd support them doing that. It's really just whatever will make them satisfied and live a good, happy, balanced life at the end of the day.
In the end, our kids are individuals, right? They're going to make their own choices. We can guide them, right? We can put guardrails up and guide them in a certain direction, but ultimately they're going to make that final decision for themselves. You know, I have a daughter as well. And, you know, one of the things I'm trying to instill in her is she can do anything she wants. And the same thing I tell my son is like, you're going to come across people or individuals that tell you, you can't, you won't, and you will, you know, and you're not going to be able to get there. You have to be able to put all that aside and say, you know what? I can do it. I can do it. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me no. And I'm not going to let anybody stand in the way of getting there. And I know it's been tougher for a lot of females in medicine. And I applaud you all for all the hard work, dedication, sacrifice to get to where you're at. It's pretty amazing.
You know, the other thing too is like when you're thinking about like the future and what somebody needs to do and what you've had to go through. I mean, the fact of the matter is nothing great. Nothing amazing or attaining something that's something of a certain level or goal. It's never easy. None of it's ever meant to be easy. And so I think at times my concern is as a society that we are trying to like remove that difficulty of attaining something. And maybe I'm looking at this wrong because I think I never would want to say that it's appropriate for there to be actual inherent issues or discrimination or things that actually are making a hostile environment. I'm not saying that at all, but to get to success, to get to some place that's really special, often will always take a little headache, sacrifice. And so I think that a little bit of struggle for our youth and children to go through to attain that is important because it's almost like that's when you realize that kind of the fruits of your labor. And so I think, like you're saying, Shauna, that you got to go for what you want to go for. And you're the only one who's going to know what it took to get there. And I think the big concern, though, in society is that if there are actual fundamental hurdles in place that prevent people from actually being able to pursue those have to be removed. And I think we're making progress. But I'd be curious to ask you, what things do you think are still there? Are there any hurdles for you personally? And have you ever had an actual hurdle that stood in front of you that you either couldn't go past or you did? And just an example would be amazing.
So finding female mentors can be difficult. And so most of my mentors have been male. I think that's not a bad thing. They've been very supportive. I was just texting some of them yesterday. I was giving them a hard time about a picture of them on, you know, their little internet picture where it looked like a mugshot, giving them a little bit of a hard time. But finding a female mentor can be really difficult because initially, and nurses say this too, they kill their young as far as they're not kind to the younger nurses. It can be a hostile environment. And I do think it can be difficult for women to get along. And I have not found that to be the case at HKB, which is one of the reasons that I stayed on after I finished my fellowship. But strong women can tend to come off negatively occasionally and harsh. There can be a little bit of difficulty kind of making those connections and those friendships, especially in individuals who are kind of higher up. And so my only female mentor that I really had throughout my entire medical training was one of the residents when I was a medical student. And she practices in Raleigh. And so she's nearby now. And so she was the only
one. Did she know that she was a mentor of yours?
Yeah. Dr. Cannon. She's in Raleigh, North Carolina. And, you know, we still are in contact every now and then. But she's one of the only ones that really supported me and helped me. And I am so grateful and thankful to her for everything that she's done. But it was hard to find someone that was really going to look out for you and not treat you like, good luck. Like, are you really sure you're good enough for this? Because there can be a little bit of that sentiment, I think, and a little bit of that. It's not really bias, but we tend to be a little bit more unkind to our own, which is a little bit messed up.
I mean, do you think that's changing now?
I hope it is.
Yeah, you've had to go through that, right? Or
mm-hmm.
How does that change your outlook and what you plan to do kind of moving forward? Because yes, you were our first female surgeon in HKB. Now we have quite a few. And so how do we view and change that situation for everybody?
Well, I am always willing to help any of the other female colleagues. I know that there's female colleagues that I have in other states that have reached out to me and asked questions. I'm willing to help them out. I ask my female friends for advice all the time. And then I serve as a mentor at my medical school. So at UVA School of Medicine, I'm a mentor for students that are interested in plastic surgery to kind of give them advice and help them with any questions, help set them up with research opportunities. And so we do check-ins, we chat, we talk about the difficult things, the things that are going to be difficult throughout their training, and really trying to support individuals I don't even know in the best way I can.
You know, you said something earlier, Shauna, and I think this is a good thing to talk about. So, you know, there is often this stigma, whether it be in plastic surgery or in like kind of higher up professional roles, where the female is, quote, aggressive, assertive, hyper direct. Is that a fair thing to say? Or is that you? Do you think that's something that is just a presumed because that's just how they are, or there's validity to it?
Sure. And really, I think that it's just because it's coming from a female voice, it's coming from a female body, that it sounds aggressive and direct. Because if it was said from a male voice and a male body in the exact same way, exact same tone, it would not seem direct or aggressive in any way. And so I think there's a lot of societal perception about how women should sound and act that has spanned hundreds and hundreds of years that we're not even aware of, that really changes our perception of what it means to be aggressive or overly direct or blunt as a female. And so there are times when I play back conversations in my head and I realize, no, that was actually pretty soft. That was a pretty kind but assertive way of saying something and getting my point across that may come off as harsh, but if a man had said it, no one would have batted an eye.
Shauna, can you provide an example or a story from your past that was the case? And then when looking back, you were like, maybe I mistook that. I should have thought differently about the way I was treated in that scenario.
So I think there are a lot of times where I've had conversation with the patients and I've been direct with them, but kind, understanding. And because I was able to assert myself and not kind of be manipulated or pushed around, they weren't necessarily a fan of it. And looking back, it made me realize that if someone else had been speaking those words beside myself, that it would not have had the same response. And there's a particular patient that I remember that requested to be seen by somebody else. And I was happy to have her seen by somebody else because I wasn't able to give her what she needed. And that's okay. And that's one of those examples of a female patient that may not prefer a female surgeon, or maybe just not me. And maybe that's okay. And that's one of the hardest things I think we do as plastic surgeons is we take everything very personally. Everything that we do, our patient interactions, our results, it all gets to us. We take it in and we feel it. And it's hard. We take that home with us too.
Yeah, that's the backstory that a lot of patients don't really understand about us, is that we care so much that we think about our results. We think about them. We think about our interactions, our discussions with them. And ultimately, like we care so much that we can't stop thinking about ways to improve the situation. And if you have a bad interaction with somebody, I mean, you carry that on for days.
So, Shauna, what's your favorite case to do when you started fellowship and then when you started practice and then now? Has it changed or is it the same thing?
I think when I started fellowship, I really enjoyed doing rhinoplasties. I myself had a rhinoplasty and it was one of the most life-changing things for me. It was just giving me self-confidence and just, as I tell my patients, it just made my nose fade into the background so you could see the rest of my face. And so it was something that I enjoyed. It's a very three-dimensional, artistic, thoughtful procedure that I still enjoy to this day. Now, I will say I enjoy mommy makeovers probably the most. It's the biggest transformation. It gives patients their lives back. It is so transformative and instantly transformative. And it's incredibly gratifying to have those patients come back and just be smiling. I saw one of my patients who was a year out and she's not at her goal weight, but she is so happy. She's like, look at my curves. Look at how good I look. I'm going back onto a diet. I'm doing this and I'm going to get my weight down, but I still feel so much better than I did before I had this surgery. And so I am just so grateful to be able to be involved in those transformations and be alongside those patients as they achieve their goals.
You got to love those stories. You got to love them. All right. Besides G and I, your favorite thing about HKB? And I get it. I mean, we're here. You can talk about us all you want. That's fine. But the favorite thing about HKB?
I think my favorite thing is the team. So our team at HKB, and I tell my patients this, is that our team is extraordinary. And I can't do my job without them. Our patients can't get the results that they get without the team at HKB. And that starts from the moment that they pick up the phone and talk to Steph to get a consultation, to when they get roomed and brought back and seen, you know, checked in at the front desk or other administrative individuals, to bringing them back into the room with Kirsten or Maiko or Hunter or one of the other many medical assistants we have, and all of our wonderful nurses. I can't even name them all because there's too many. And our wonderful nurse anesthetists, our scrub techs, our PACU nurses, our pre-op nurses. It's just a full experience. And I don't think anyone does it better than we do.
I agree with you. Our team is absolutely amazing. And from top to bottom, it's great. And it's one of the many reasons I love kind of coming to work every day. Where do you see Shauna Kleban in 3 to 5 years?
That is a question that I ask myself every day. But I think, you know, I'm going to continue to expand my practice. I think in the next 3 to 5 years, I'm really going to be focusing on maybe building a family and having a child or two, and what that looks like for me from the career side of things is a little bit different. I may need to take a little bit of a step back because I want to be there for my kids. Does that mean that I'm not going to work? Of course not. I love what I do. I need to work every day. Yeah, it's my passion. It's part of my purpose. And so I just want to add a little bit more to that purpose.
I love that, Shauna. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. And all women at our organization, you know, if they want to pursue that type of thing and add that depth to you, to your whole entire life, I mean, it's a unique, special depth to do that. And so I love that. And one of the things I want to mention, you know, before we conclude, is your story is really special, but the way that you were able to begin your career and your vertical ascent has been like the steepest, most incredible pace I've ever seen. And so we are incredibly proud of you. Your results are phenomenal. You embody so many unique things that you brought to the table from your training already. and then things you incorporated from Bill, from me, from Joe Hunstead, and you're this provider that can do some ridiculous transformations. And I even look at it, I'm like, holy cow, that is a ridiculous result. And I just, there's nothing that makes me happier. And I know Bill feels the same way. And
ultra, ultra proud.
Yeah. And for the patients too, right, Bill? I'm so pumped for our patients. Like, there's one thing to be proud of somebody, but then other is to be proud of our organization and to know if they go see Shauna, they are going to get an amazing result.
Thank you.
G's right. I mean, your results are incredible. You are an amazing, talented surgeon. We are super blessed to have you as a colleague, as a friend, and somebody who's on our team. And we're excited for your future.
Well, thank you both so much for everything that you've done for me up to this point and kind of, you know, our future together as part of HKB. It's, you know, the future is very bright and very excited about everything that we have going.
Agree. And, you know, some big important takeaways for all of us, for all of our listeners to remember is we exist simply to help people achieve their personal best. And that as an enterprise, as providers, that we 100% support and always want to empower women. We always want to empower patients and our team. And probably the most important, Dr. Shauna Kleban is a badass.
Key important thing. Yeah.
No, thank you for tuning in about Dr. Shauna Kleban. This was a wonderful episode. What's complicated in your world? We want to hear from you. Send us a voicemail on our podcast website at the hkbpodcast.com and we'll answer them on the podcast. Check the show notes for the link to send your question and follow us on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery.
Links to learn more about anything mentioned on today's show are available in the show notes. To learn more about Dr. Bill Cortesis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi and the entire team of HKB Cosmetic Surgery, just go to hkbsurgery.com or follow HKB on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery. Subscribe to our newsletter for key takeaways from each episode, links to any resources we discuss, and promo codes or giveaways from HKB and our partners. If this show has helped you in any way, if you learned something, write a review on Apple Podcasts and share the podcast with a friend. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more. It's Complicated is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.